Okay, welcome back. Hour number two, and a special hello to all of our listeners in Europe and around the Mediterranean, all over the place. We're on Hotbird over there now in 120 million homes, and not all listening to us, of course, but that's the potential there. Europe is on a dish system rather than a cable system like much of America is, so we are very happy to have you, and thank you for the kind emails we've been getting as well. We're going to go to Brighton, England this hour to talk to Terrible Tim Rifat, equal opportunity hater of humanity and humankind because of what it does to itself, among other reasons. Tim has much to say about a lot of things, some of it interesting, some of it seemingly off-planet weird, but he's rarely wrong. That much we can point to. Welcome back, Tim. How are you?
Neil, I'm very well. How about yourself? Did you enjoy your Thanksgiving?
It came and went, thank you.
And I'm sure you went out on Black Friday and spent.
I fought my way through the crowds at Walmart so I could
exactly.
Get...
Exactly.
Forgot what I even went there for. I just like to fight, so yeah, I went out there. There were taser fights, I understand, in some of these stores. I can't believe it. It's disintegrating. Last hour... No, I didn't go out. We were talking about geoengineering with Dane Wigington. And geoengineering, another word, of course, for weather mod... atmospheric mitigation changes, chemtrails, primarily chem spraying, aerosolization of the skies with foreign elements which don't do anything for the weather. When I was younger, I used to love to watch, and I just pulled this up during the break. The Weather Channel has a picture of the Northern Pacific. You can see from China all the way across to about halfway through the U.S. Now, in the winter, starting in the fall, it was always a procession, 2-3 days apart, of weather systems. And these weather systems would be little spirals. They would be counterclockwise. And they would turn into larger weather systems. And they would move 1, 2, 3. Every couple 3 days, there would be one storm front, a nice, beautiful spiral storm front that would move across the Gulf of Alaska, into Canada, down through Washington, Oregon, and into California. And if the jet stream was just right, it would push these anticyclonic weather systems, storm fronts, down further. And if you're on the leading edge, the wind would come up from the south, and after the storm system passed, you'd get wind coming from the north because these things are spinning counterclockwise as they pass over you. And I've noticed this year, and I didn't look too much last year, but there are no cyclonic weather systems to be seen for the most part. There are just big clumps of moisture that are being pushed across and over the United States. I'm looking at it right now, and there is no cyclonic weather system to be seen anywhere except just north of, looks like south of the Kamchatka Peninsula. There's a hint of one, but it's not like it used to be. It is completely different. And the weather has been trashed. There is no more normal, natural weather patterning. Not that I've seen. And I don't know how it is in Brighton. Have things changed much there in the climate sense of things?
Not really. As I say, we had a hot summer, but with the HARP and the HARP facility in Norway and the one in Cyprus, they were jiggling about with the air systems and making it hot over the UK. So as I say, there's no normal weather any longer because the military see weather systems as part of the war against China and Russia. So they had terrible floods and bad, very, 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 very bad weather because they were being attacked by, of course, the West.
Mm-hmm.
So weather now is a weapon of war. It's an open secret. The Pentagon's actually documented that they're using weather warfare, and China and Russia have been devastated by tremendous floods, which, of course, have been controlled, directed, modified by... the HARP and the Pine Gap, and there's one in Western Australia as well. Tremendous gigawatt energy weapons which are being directed at Siberia and China.
Yeah, you know, you asked about the holiday. I don't know if in your country Thanksgiving is celebrated, but in America, it just kind of came and went. Everyone was keyed on what? Not Thanksgiving. They were keyed on Black Friday. And then today it was called Cyber Monday on the internet. So, yeah, it's all different. Everything's changed. Nothing is as it was. And it's sad.
It's good. It's all progress, Jeff.
Yeah, progress. Progress.
Yeah.
Yep.
Towards
America yawned for Thanksgiving. That was pretty much it.
Right. And of course, we know that the Jewish bankers aren't yawning because of course, after my last show, where I explained that having huge quantities of gold and silver, which the Rothschilds have accrued, will be irrelevant, and that food, clean food, is going to be the new commodity of ultimate worth.
Well, you are right. You're the first, once again, and you've done this many times, you're the first person to point to the rather obvious, but no one thinks down the road much anymore. Clean, unirradiated food will be a premium in the next 3-4 years. The people who grow it in South America, and there'll be a lot of it in Africa too. There'll be many, many large parcels of land in Africa that will be turned into agrarian use to ship produce to Europe, because the Europeans are going to get hit with this as well, the entire Northern Hemisphere. So, very smart, very shrewd.
And of course, the breadbasket of the former USSR was the Ukraine. So now the Rothschilds are carrying out a psychic warfare coup, exactly following the same blueprint as the successful vivisection of the USSR, using a psyop psychic warfare, using human wetware as a weapon of war, which I've talked about at length. I'm probably the only person on the planet who talks about wetware and psychic warfare, because of course it's super black ops since 2001, and anybody who does suffers infinite incarceration in a federal prison. I of course am immune, because I let us say hunt down and psychically warfare kill the NSA, not vice versa, but that's by the by. But this coup that's occurring as we speak is following the exact blueprint of the downfall of the Soviet Union. And, of course, its prime motive is to totally take over the Ukraine, which produces vast amounts of food. In the medium term, for the Rothschild Jewish bankers, and in the long term, they, of course, as you say, will have to take over South America, Africa. They already own Australia and New Zealand.
Well, guess what? Guess what's happened in Africa, which, again, was targeted with HIV in the late 70s in the smallpox vaccine program. There is now a new and deadly strain of HIV, which has been identified in a number of different locales. So they may be on a second leg to try to depopulate much of Africa so they can take it over
more
easily. They have to,
because, of course, it's obvious that if Fukushima is as bad as we've been stating, that North America and the Pacific will cease to produce clean food. That means the Ukraine must enter the EU. It must be given massive bailouts by the EU. It needs $100 billion a year. Its industries must be made totally uncompetitive by EU restrictions, laws, green taxes, and all the other Jewish banking garbage of the Soviet European Union. They must default like Greece, and they must, of course, have the whole of the Ukraine given over in return, you know, for default, for defaulting on the banking loans, which, of course, will happen in the next 18 months.
Right.
So that means then that the Rothschild Jewish bankers own the entire Ukraine, which, of course, produces humongous amounts of grains. Even though they had Chernobyl in the Ukraine, it was localized. So that tells you how bad Fukushima is when Fukushima goes global. And, of course, this is the stepping point for the total psychic warfare downfall of Putin, because remember, you can't take down Russia militarily, so of course you use psychic warfare, the wetware, you possess it with the Dallas meme, which of course is only applicable to old people like myself who watch Dallas and Dynasty, but basically putting in terms for the young computer zombieite, it means you put forward the meme that if they join the EU, if they join the West, they're all going to have a millionaire lifestyle.
Oh, I know, I know.
Living paradise.
It's an easy sell to the lame brains out there. Hold on, Tim, just a second. We have to do a little biz, and we'll come right back. Tim Riefat from Brighton, England. Okay, and we're back with Tim. Somebody just sent a video of Ukraine cops. Why are these cops that go out in the streets to confront, beat, and sometimes kill protesters? That's the same the world over. All the same. I just looked at 36 seconds of Ukrainian cops going up and just beating the hell and kicking out people. No reason. None. Zero. None at all. It's something happens when you put people in a uniform with armor and give them guns and clubs and tell them, that's the enemy, go get them. Something happens.
Yes, because humans are a cursorial, a pack animal. So it's hardwired into the DNA.
I've seen them in a riot situation years ago, and there's nothing stranger than to watch several thousand people all of a sudden acting as one. It's like they lose their individuality and their ability to think independently, and they start running with the pack. Exactly correct.
Yeah, it's all to do with psychic warfare, of which I'm the world expert, and the cohesion of the consciousness into a mob consciousness, basically the consciousness of one person fuses with their fellows, and it's a survival trait which was an imperative when small, weak humans faced large predators. So a natural ESP telepathy takes over, and they fight as a cohesive unit. Happens in all cursorial animals, be it wolves or insects. And, of course, you see it in every group situation. Where we have the fight or flight situation occurring, so it's just part of psychic warfare and used for, as I say, strategic and global remote influencing.
Yeah, Let me go back to the food thing. This is the big story.
That's
food
biggest,
and water.
That is the biggest story on the planet.
And
Rothschild Jewish bankers are applying it now with a frenzied fury.
Well, in California, we have the San Joaquin and the Sacramento Valleys, the lower part of the Central Valley of San Joaquin, the top Sacramento. And that is known as the breadbasket of America. Extraordinary place for growing food. Unfortunately, many years ago, it became, one of the most polluted with herbicides, pesticides, insecticides, places in the country. You would drive through on Interstate 5, the San Joaquin and Sacramento Valley, and you'd see, especially in the San Joaquin, the lower part below San Francisco, from about Stockton South, you would see crop duster planes flying all day, spraying these white plumes of death. And it would go into the air, onto the plants, into the leaves, into the ground, into the soil, and up into the plants from the water in the ground. And you had totally toxic plants. The average head of lettuce was sprayed, I think it was 13 or 14 times before it ever hit the dinner table. 13 or 14 times. And that's iceberg lettuce, and that's junk anyhow. There's no goodness in it. So you had a growing area that was second to none, and now it's about ready to be radiated. In the next year, the soil there will have in it, well, now that's the latest, but certainly cesium, the cesium twins will be there. They've already measured it in topsoil on the other side of the mountains, on the coastal side. UC Berkeley was doing that. They stopped. And I have a story up at Rents now where you'll see a major, they call it a giant, release just begun recently of strontium 90 from Fukushima. And there's no end in sight. It has to do with the groundwater.
That's coming from the three
the aquifers and the fissioning fuel cores down into the aquifer. And there's nothing they can do about it. Zero.
Nothing.
So this strontium 90, I don't know if it's a heavy isotope or not, if it's going to sink out or stay near the surface.
No, it's like it's the two killers in the Tim Riefat pantheon of nuclear holocaust.
Oh.
Cobalt 60 and strontium 90.
And strontium 90, there you go.
Strontium 90 is as vicious. Cobalt 60 goes into the same sort of thing as the iron in the hemoglobin. So it takes out the red blood cells, apart from poisoning you with gamma rays. Strontium 90, vastly radioactive, as toxic as cobalt 60. And it goes into the bone and gives you aplastic anemia, leukemia, in minute, and we're talking minute quantities. It really is the jewel in the crown of the nuclear holocaust with cobalt 60. Those two are the twins of death, and you can't produce strontium 90 apart from fissioning reactions. It's incredibly toxic. A millionth of a gram will give you fatal cancer because it goes into your bones.
Which is where the immune system, if you folks don't know, is actually created. It's in the marrow of the bones.
Yeah, and the bone marrow, yeah.
When that's destroyed, immune system.
It really is targeted radioactive poison of the finest variety, and it's only produced by fissioning materials. If you wish to make a nuclear weapon dirty, what you do is you get your uranium 235, which makes an atomic bomb, and then you clad it not with cobalt metal to produce cobalt 60, but you clad it with uranium-238, and then that produces loads of lovely strontium-90. So the fuel rods, if they had any uranium-238 in them, will be producing, which is a normal variety, non-fissionable, will be producing loads of dirty fallout products. But strontium-90 is being produced by these 300 tons of coriums, and if any of the fuel ponds fall and start fissioning, they'll be producing more of these strontium-90. So that really is the ultra-nasty component of the fallout from Fukushima, and it's the stuff that, like cobalt-60, you only need minute amounts of it, and that's why the dilution effect of the Pacific, which is immense, is vitiated by the extreme toxicity in minute quantities.
Well, they've Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about dilution and a paper that was or an article, a study I think it was some time ago. People don't remember. Maybe a year ago, they did study. I think it was 1,500 to 1,000 kilometers out into the Pacific off the coast, the east coast of Japan, along the North Pacific Current, and they were shocked to find out that the dilution factor didn't play out as they thought it would. That for some reason, much of the radiation stayed on the top and tended to stay relatively close together. They didn't just go every which way and gone. All right, just a second, we'll come right back with Terrible Tim in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. Okay, and we're back with Tim. A story that we've got posted as well, a story here that is very important, and it's real simple. The headline tells it all. Study, new study, finds giant strontium-90 release into the Pacific Ocean began about 1,000 days after meltdown, which is about now, 1,000 days after 3/11. There are very high levels being discharged now, and it is expected to continue for 50,000 days. That's a long time. So what it is, it's the melted cores down into the ground under the reactors. Remember, no one's even gone into reactor building 1, 2, or 3. You can't get near them. Can't get near them. Robots go in, but their circuits are fried in short order, and they're no good. So we have spent fuel pools on buildings 1, 2, and 3 no one's even talking about. They're playing with dynamite in a spent fuel pool at reactor building 4, trying to pull out those apparently fused, in many cases, bent, broken fuel rods. The fuel assemblies, each assembly has, I guess, up to 20 rods in it. But this is all so nutty.
Yeah, let's explain why it's such a disaster, because, of course, first of all, 1 pound of strontium-90 will kill off the entire population of America with cancer in the long term. When the coriums in the ground produce strontium-90, they don't produce it in big chunks like a dirty bomb. They produce nanoparticles of strontium-90. The strontium-90, of course, develops a charge on its surface, which causes the nanoparticles of strontium-90 to clump up and follow, produce a sort of a glutenizing mass with proteins and various other organic matter in the Pacific. So instead of sinking to the bottom of the Pacific, they reside in the top layer, because they agglutinize and make proteins and organic matter in the sea stick to them, which causes the heavy strontium-90 to float. And then when they get near to the Jewish state of the Soviet Union of America, The wind, precipitation, etc., blows them inland. They then get taken in by the human population, foodstuffs, etc., and a millionth of a gram of this stuff then gives you, as you say, aplastic anemia and leukemia. Especially if you're young, you're going to be living 70, 80, 90, 100 years with this stuff in your bone marrow. So you can see that it's going to have a gigantic effect on the West Coast population. And then with the weather, storms and stuff, it'll be blown inland into the Midwest. We know that, thankfully, the Rothschild Jew is shipping it to the UK, because I've been in UK supermarkets and they're selling, or every supermarket selling Pacific tuna, Japanese seaweed products and various other Japanese products in foodstuffs, and of course Atlantic, Pacific...
Salmon,
which of course...
80% of which disappeared this year.
Yeah, but it's been shipped in immense amounts to the UK to feed to the offal we call the British.
I see.
We know that the dissemination of strontium 90 will be massive because the Rothschild Jew will be shipping it, especially if you're the Walmart Asda people. They'll be shipping it to the UK because they'll be getting it dirt cheap. And what they tend to do, I went into Marks and Spencer's and looked, and in their sushi, which had tuna, they were mixing Indian ocean tuna, which is expensive, with Pacific tuna, which, of course, must be getting quite... That's what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
And mixing
don't
it
don't
want
to mess with that tuna fishing industry, do we? You have to keep those fishermen
fishing. No, now you understand that the problem from the Pacific is that it shouldn't happen. Heavy metal should just sink to the bottom of the Pacific. The dilution effect should be enormous. They go down into those trenches, never seen again. Unfortunately, the coriums are producing them as nanoparticles, which then are, by van der Waals forces and electrostatic forces, linking up with glutinous proteins and organic matter in the sea.
Well, it all starts with the plankton and the algae, which
exactly.
is eaten by the
they
little
stick.
Fish, and then the bigger fish, and the bigger fish, and it accumulates. Yeah.
The problem is the strontium 90 radionucleotides and the rest are nanoparticleized, and they stick and are uptaken by the plankton. They stick to the plankton. So it's rather like a magnet when you put the magnet. Think of the magnet as the plankton and the iron filings as the radionucleotides in nanoparticle form. When you put a magnet against iron filings, the magnet gets covered with iron filings. That's why the dilution effect isn't working in the Pacific.
It's not. It is not working.
But that's why.
This was one study I saw, and not a follow-up word was ever to be seen
again. No, of course not, because the Jewish bankers are terrified, and they want to take over the Ukraine. They want to take over the breadbasket of Russia. They want to then... destabilize Russia, have a coup in Russia using the same methods they've used on Yanukovych to oust Yanukovych.
Well,
and bring
they,
in
they've
a
tried.
EU government.
That'd be hard to do in
coup.
Russia. The Russians don't forget. They remember who the Bolsheviks were.
But that's the plan. And, of course, the Rothschilds have to move out. The Rothschild Jewish bankers, Gelin, and the rest of the Jewish filth, have to move out of North America because you're going to have famine and race war, and they need to go to a place, A, which is going to be a superpower in terms of military, B, which has a vast food source that will last as long as possible in the Northern Hemisphere, and C, prepare for the invasion of the Southern Hemisphere, which then needs the extermination of the Chinese, because the Chinese will be competitors for the Southern Hemisphere when push comes to shove.
They're already positioning
themselves.
Now you
understand what's happening in the Ukraine is of vital importance to the Rothschilds, and the Russians are next after Yanukovych is ground to paste, and the EU troika
right.
take over
right.
Ukraine.
Well, they want Yulia back out. They want her on the loose again.
Of course, because she's a perfect figurehead for the EU Troika to take over the Ukraine and bankrupt it and give all its assets to the EU.
Yulia Tymoshenko, how long is she in jail for? I can't remember.
7 years.
Yeah, that's right. 7 years.
They've got another court case against her, which, if successful, will put her in jail for another 10 years.
Yeah, they got to get her out, obviously. Hold on,
they
be right back.
Because they've got to have that food supply, and they've got to take down Russia.
Interesting. Back with Tim in a minute. Story I have up, there was a study done in Germany, a German study in the early 1990s, and it oddly parallels Fukushima. This is 1992, the International Radiation Protection Association. After a core meltdown accident, it cannot be completely ruled out that the melt will reach and partly penetrate the concrete foundation under it, which is what happened in Fukushima. The amounts of some radionuclides leached out by the passing groundwater are estimated. And then they've got a table here. I'll skip ahead a bit. According to Figure 1A, strontium-90 levels from such a melt-through stay near zero for the first 1,000 days, after which levels spike to dramatically high marks and appear to remain elevated for the next 50,000 or so days. Though Fukushima, this isn't part of the study, this is an addendum, though Fukushima is more than three times closer to the water than the reactor, the single reactor in the study I've just mentioned, it is more than three times slower. And of course, Fukushima is dealing with three melted cores, not just one. So this is why the strontium-90, it's already been projected in a study from 1992, 22 years ago.
One pound of the stuff kills off as nanoparticles.
I mean, you ought to see this graph. It goes straight up.
The U.S. population.
Yeah, well,
we know race war is going to take over America. The Jews are going to be wiped out in America. They have to take over Russia because, remember, the Northern Hemisphere is going to become more and more poisoned. But the move now, the order's been given in London, take down Yanukovych using psychic warfare, and then take down Putin using psychic warfare, and the Rothschild Jews will be moving to Russia as their new base. They're going to use psychic warfare on China to start...
Well, that'll be interesting, because the Chinese, as you know, have scoured their entire country for people with psychic abilities and prowess and have pulled them together.
Yes, but remember, my team took down the USSR. We used it to destroy the working class in the West first, then took down the USSR, used it on the Chinese, but I blocked it because they wouldn't pay me. And now, of course, it's open season because I've become freelance, commercialized with psychicwarfare.com. I no longer can waste my time protecting Russia and China, and you have to pay for protection. So go to psychicwarfare.com, where I explain the Chinese and Russians are no longer protected, and the technology developed by the British, psychic warfare, took down the USSR. It'll take down Putin again. It'll cause massive troubles in Tibet. And, of course, the Muslim provinces, and we'll have...
You know, Tim, that another group in the formerly United States marked for certainly subordination, if not elimination, is the white Caucasian element. The middle class is gone, and then when race war erupts here, it's going to be real ugly. Now here,
yes,
I got to go back to Fukushima. Here is another very important little tidbit. This is from Dr. Charles Perrow, P-E-R-R-O-W, professor emeritus at Yale University. Dr. Charles Perrow, an author of the award-winning book Normal Accidents: Living with High Risk technologies. He says in an interview, are we literally on the verge of seeing Japan ceasing to exist as a nation? Is it this serious? And his answer, if we have a serious accident or a serious earthquake, yes. The chances are we will get through it. I don't think that it's guaranteed that there's going to be a nuclear holocaust from these events, but there is a very high risk of one. So in other words, what he's saying is one big earthquake and it's over. Simple.
Yeah, I agree, but the main problem at the moment before we factor in future events is the poisoning of the Pacific food supply via the algae, via the flocculation events with the nanoparticulization of radionucleotides, the poisoning of North American food supplies due to the precipitation of these radionucleotides on North America in the next 100 years, and the massive increase in the price of clean food, which of course will then mean that gold and silver will become sidelined as the commodity of worth, and he who owns the clean food supply owns the population. Therefore, the Rothschilds have to take over the Ukraine, breadbasket of the former Soviet Union. They have to then use psychic warfare to usurp Putin, take over Russia, because if it gets bad, remember the Rothschilds always look to surviving the worst. If the major earthquake events happen in Japan, that will then finish off the Northern Hemisphere. They then need to eliminate China as a competitor for the Southern Hemisphere. That can only be done by psychic warfare, using the human population as weapons of war to tear the infrastructure apart. It's been done before with the USSR. It's now being carried out again on the Ukraine and the Russian Federation and on China. Massive use of psychic warfare. And once China's eliminated, Russia, because America will be race war, you can imagine, balkanized race war, completely bedlam, then the military might of Russia will be used to take over South America and Africa. Australia and New Zealand are already under the Jewish banking boot. And to this end, Russia today was whining, young Israelis are fleeing Israel like mad and spreading around the world like a metastasizing cancer. This, of course, is because the Jewish bankers wish to survive the worst that can happen in Fukushima. The worst at the moment is take over the Ukraine, take over Russia, use psychic warfare to balkanize China. We know race war is going to balkanize America. It's going to happen whether you like it or not because of the release so far. But if we have a major earthquake that drops fuel ponds and then releases into the atmosphere huge amounts of radionucleotides, then Africa and South America will have to be taken over by the Jewish bankers. This can't be done by America because, remember, those fuel ponds in 1, 2, and 3 have to stay up now forever because you can't get near them. So it's a ticking time bomb. Once they drop, the Northern Hemisphere has to be evacuated, but then the Chinese will be competitors for the Southern Hemisphere. So therefore, the only way to take down China is A, have a war, fly B-52s over the Senkaku Islands, ramp up war against them, or use psychic warfare, which of course works. They've got no defense against, and I've lifted any defense against that to bring about, as I say, maximum conditions for my business, psychicwarfare.com. And therefore, as you can see, the future is between Fukushima, nuclear holocaust, and psychic warfare, the use of wetware, the use of humans to bring about the collapse of your enemies, which happened in the USSR, which is happening in the Ukraine, and will happen in China. This, of course, is the future of warfare. The Jewish bankers, of course, have to make sure that they don't get squashed between a rock and a hard place, which, of course, I'm engineering. So So you can actually see it's all panic stations, and it's all waiting for, at the moment, we're just taking over the Ukraine and Russia. But when a major earthquake happens in the next 100 years, because I can't see any way of getting the fuel ponds from 1, 2, and 3 out. Can you, Jeff, at the moment? Unless we send in the Navy SEALs.
For death.
So when they drop, when we have a major earthquake, that then turns Fukushima from poisoning North America, causing race war, to poisoning the Northern Hemisphere. Therefore, we have to go into the Southern Hemisphere. And we can't, because if it happens, say, 10 years from now, America will be in the midst of Balkanization, a race war. Therefore, the Rothschilds have decided they're going to take over Russia, because they need Russia's military might, and they need to take out China. So that's either a quick war, we need a war with China while America still exists, or if that doesn't happen, psychic warfare, which of course causes the population to destroy the country, as we see in the Ukraine. So you can see your program is at the center of geopolitics. And
well, if I was in Japan, we'd be off the air already because of the new secrecy laws.
And you can see why your reporters are being threatened with 20 years in jail for talking about Fukushima and not answering emails and going off grid, because the Jewish bankers are in a state of frenzy, and they don't want the, not the public, they don't care about the public. They don't want the Pentagon generals, they don't want the rich white boys in America to realize what's happening, because if they do, then of course it changes the dynamics. So we don't want the Walmart mob listening, or the Pentagon generals, or Jimmy Jones, Dallas Cowboys, etc.
I've already seen.
That's why your program, really, if Jewish bankers were smart, they should have gotten rid of you and shut you down, because we really can't be releasing this information. It's deadly.
Already seen disinformation pieces coming out from ostensibly well-qualified individuals trying to completely water down the potential dangers that we are obviously facing, imminent dangers in the Pacific and in the air over the Pacific, because that's where the rain comes from.
So, yeah, and no one's talked about the radionucleotides sticking via van der Waals forces and electrostatic forces to algae and not sinking. This, of course, is known to chemists like myself, but of course has been completely kept from the Pentagon generals.
No, nobody's going to talk about
that. White boys, because of course, if that's known, then us whittering on about North America falling to race war because of nuclear radiation, the famine, and all the white women having deformed babies, that suddenly becomes a certainty, because then they understand why the immense amount of water in the Pacific Ocean doesn't mitigate the problem of Fukushima.
Very
Good
well said.
Today, Jeff.
Indeed, very well said. Thank you,
well
Tim.
Well chosen.
All right, you be well.
Thanks for having me on. Bye.
Okay.